We have our guest speaker is Julian Smith, and she is talking about the importance of family mealtime. She is an award-winning broadcast journalist, best-selling author, and business marketing executive. She brings 20-plus years of family mealtime expertise to Food for Talk. She's the mother of 5 children and spent decades being intentional with her children about having family mealtime and tries for 4 or more times a week. So please help me welcome Julian Smith. She'll also be selling, she will do a brief Q&A. We do know that several ladies have to leave a little bit early for the preschool friendship soup, but she will do a Q&A, and then she'll also, she's so gracious to stay and answer questions after at her table and be selling her boxes that she'll explain to you a little bit more. So again, here is Julian.
Thank you.
Hi. Hi, ladies. How's everybody doing? This is, I gotta say, I have done MOPS talks all over the country, seriously. And Food for Talk, I'll talk to you about it in a little bit, but it's a family mealtime conversation starters. And it was featured on the Kentucky Fried Chicken bringbackdinner.com website. And that was, it's Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC, is like the second largest fast food behind McDonald's in the world. So they sent me on kind of a national tour. And whenever I went into cities, I would always try to contact the MOPS coordinators in those cities all over the country. This has been going on now for like the last 10 years. And I would always try to get in at the MOPS because I love MOPS. I actually got to interview Elise Morgan back in the day. My background is journalism. I was a TV news anchor reporter at an ABC affiliate for a lot of years. And then when my kids were little, I did a radio talk show. And I actually got to interview Elise Morgan, the gal that actually started MOPS, because back in the day when my kids were little, there was no MOPS. So I love this organization. And I kind of consider myself a MOPS food connoisseur, and because I've eaten at all of them. And you guys have one of the best food setups going. So, yeah. So which tables did the food today? Awesome. Okay, and I'm kind of a foodie too, so I kind of cook and love to do that. I'm in an organization which I created with my friends called the Gorgeous Gourmets. And these are the things you'll get to do when your kids are older, because my youngest is 22 and he just graduated from U of A. Oh, so I have no more tuition payments. We are done. He's out and all the kids are up and off the dole, as we say. And the Gorgeous Gourmets is super fun. So you guys should start one in about 10 years when your kids are older. And it's 6 of my dearest friends. And instead of a book club, because I've never joined a book club because they always read things that I have no interest in reading, because if it's not over 100 years old, I don't want to read it. Like, I'm all about Jane Austen and the Bronte sisters and like those kind of books. So I don't want to read, you know, 50 Shades of whatever. I have no interest, so I never get in the book clubs. But I got in this, I sort of created this little foodie club, and we get together every other month, and whoever, if you're hosting, you do all the food. And it's really fun, and it's like a cooking class for your friends. And you can, at the end, I'm going to be over here at the end, so you can find me on Facebook, and I do post stuff from our foodie club and our menus, and it's really fun. So just something in about 10 years, you'll go, yeah, we had this talk, and she started a Gorgeous Gourmet, so you could do it. And I created the name, too, so it's, yeah, it's not even nationwide, so you guys can take that and run with it, okay? Anyway, it is truly a pleasure to be here. I just love MOPS. Your coordinators are spectacular. They're absolutely wonderful. And what a gorgeous day, right? And if for no other reason, we are celebrating the fact that the elections are over, right? Yay! Whatever side of the aisle you're on, we're celebrating that they're over and we don't have to watch any more ads on TV all the time, right? But it truly is just gorgeous. I live in San Clemente, and this is one of the greatest opportunities is to come down and talk with you ladies. I know your pain. I was there. I was talking to one of the moms already, and I said, just lean into the mess, because pretty soon your kids are going to be gone. They're going to be up and out, and you're not going to care. And everyone tells you that it's going to go by really fast. And right now it doesn't seem like it's going by really fast. And if you get into bed and all three of your kids are still alive, you feel like you've accomplished a lot, right? I did, you know, so My talk today is designed to allow you to have, one, a less stressed life, and not to add one more thing into your schedule, but to allow you to live a very much decreased stress life and to do what is really the number one best thing for your kids. And every speaker that comes before you has a goal. They all have a goal. And my goal is to really encourage you, if you're currently doing it, to encourage you to continue family mealtime. And if you're not doing family mealtime, to get you to start to do family mealtime. And I'm going to explain why. On your tables are some handouts, and I highly recommend that you take these handouts, and I didn't do it digitally because this is so important, it was worth killing a tree for. It really is. This is incredibly important, and I want you, because if it's in your phone or on your iPad, it's going to get buried in all that stuff, and you're never going to look at it again. But if it's written down, and they say it helps you remember a lot better, and you're going to want to share this, if you're married, with your husband. So I highly recommend you take some copious notes and bring this and share this with your husband, maybe over the holiday weekend, whenever you get the opportunity. Okay, ladies, to start off, with a show of hands, how many of you would like your children to grow up getting A's and B's in school? Please raise your hand. Awesome. Great. Okay. How many of you would like your kids to get C's and D's and F's? Raise your hand. Okay, good. There you go. How many of you would like your kids to grow up and not have problems with drugs and alcohol? Please raise your hand. Awesome. Excellent. How many of you would like your kids to grow up not experiencing weight problems or obesity? Please raise your hand. Excellent. How many of you would like your kids to grow up emotionally healthy adults? Please raise your hand. Awesome. Just about everyone. There's a few scattered that didn't raise their hand. That's okay. And how many of you would like your children to grow up in strong families? Please raise your hand. Great. Okay. As a journalist, I have been taught to never bury the lead. Those five things are research shows from some of the greatest medical research done in the country, from some of the greatest institutions in the world, Harvard, Stanford, Princeton, Tufts University, Northwestern, University of Michigan. All of these universities, Columbia, have done some of the greatest international research on family mealtime. And all of the research combined shows that these are the top five research benefits to children of family mealtime. And there is nothing that research has found out yet that is more beneficial to your kids that can provide these outcomes than family mealtime. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. And I'll explain why, what the magic is, what the power is of family mealtime in just a minute. But one of the things, one of the greatest, and it's at the top of your page there, one of the really shocking things that I found out when I started doing my research on this, is a quote from the University of Michigan study. And it says, the University of Michigan, one of the great research universities in the world, this study of children's time found that more mealtime at home was the single strongest predictor of better achievement scores and fewer behavioral problems. That mealtime was found to be far more powerful than time spent in school, studying, church, playing sports, or art activities. Amazing. And the power of family mealtime, ladies, is not in the food. It is in the fellowship. It is not in the cooking. It is in the conversations that go on around the family dinner table. And here's why. Imagine your children having your full, complete, and undivided attention for 30 minutes or more, four or more times a week, for 18 years. Sit with that. Yeah. This is the pin drop, crickets you can hear reaction when you really let that sink in. You know, God created each and every one of us and your children. God created your children with a big, giant hole. And that hole can only be filled with a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And then after that, God created in the Bible family. Family after God is that yearning, that hole that we have to be in relationship with God first and our family second. And the best way to create that bond, that strong family, that connection is through family mealtime. Because you only go on family vacation once a year, if you're lucky, maybe twice a year, if you can get your husband to break away. Most of you don't have husbands or jobs where you're retired yet, are you? Unless you, who got an inheritance that they're now living off a trust or something? Could I move in? Could I come move in with you? But, you know, we all get maybe 1 or 2 weeks of vacation a year, right? And 1 or 2 weeks of vacation with you giving your kids your undivided attention, that ain't gonna cut it, right? Soccer, football practice, dance, gymnastics, golf lessons, art, music, all those things are good. But all of you know in this crazy, hectic, stress-filled society and culture here in America that we are thinking this is what's best raising our kids in with 20 activities for little Joey at the age of 4, you know, we're starting to realize that that is not in the best interest of our children. And what research shows is that, and what I hope at the end of my talk today, that you moms will seriously consider, and I'm not here to add any more stress to your day, I'm actually here to de-stress your life, so that you will begin to seriously think about saying no to some of these good activities over here, the 9 things you may have little Susie signed up in at the age of 6, and to start to say yes to, after my talk, what you will know is the best thing for your kids, which is family mealtime. Isn't that awesome? I know. Imagine living a less stressed life and doing what you know is now really best for your kids, is 4 or more times a week for 30 minutes or more for 18 years. Your undivided attention. Amazing. The power of that is staggering. So let's go ahead and get started. Number one top reason to do family mealtime, ladies, is better grades in school. And I'm going to list off a whole bunch of things. I actually have more in my notes. You can go to, there's a website, and I'm going to be the only speaker you ever have that will not send people to your website. I'm going to send you to CASA, the Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse out of Columbia University. And they're the ones that compiled the majority of this research from universities all over the country. And I'll explain more about that in a minute. But better grades in school is one of the number one benefits to children of family mealtime. The largest federally funded study of American teenagers found a strong correlation and association between regular family meals with a parent and academic success. And that was with the Council of Economic Advisors to the President. A Harvard study, I'm going to be quoting Harvard a lot this morning, a study of, and you can just jot down, you know, Harvard, Princeton, you know, to sort of give, when you're telling your husband about this, these are the attributions you'll give him. A Harvard study of preschoolers, your kid's age, found that family dinner was the most important event, Harvard, in helping children develop strong language skills, which translated into better grades in the elementary years. You know how your kids will take those, what are they called, SATs, or not SATs, but they take those star tests in the schools now that sort of ranks. My kids, of course, because they all did family mealtime, my kids, they may have not gone so well in other areas, but vocabulary, they were like in second grade, they were speaking at college level, you know. Seriously, it was like crazy, the vocabulary that they learned just simply sitting around our family dinner table. Columbia University study found that frequent family dinners were associated with better school performance, with teens 40% more likely to get A's and B's in school than their non-family mealtime counterparts. University of Illinois researchers found that children ages 7 to 11 who did well on school achievement tests spent a large amount of time, four or more times a week, eating meals together. I have about 20 more of those, but that gives you an idea, right? Go to CASA, the Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse, Columbia University, and they've got a lot more on just the better grade research because of family mealtime. And again, ladies, this is not about the cooking. This is about the conversation and the power of that connection over 18 years in your children's lives. It's huge. The second one, the benefits to children of family mealtime is significantly less risk of drug and alcohol abuse or use among children. And this is where CASA comes in. Okay, CASA is the Center for Addiction and Substance Abuse, and they had a multi-million dollar federally funded study years ago, back in the 80s, 90s. And they wanted to find out what was the common denominator among teenagers in high school, junior high and high school, what was the common denominator among teenagers who were not using drugs and alcohol. And then they wanted to take that information and give it to parents to say, these are the things that we found that is really beneficial to do or not to do, because these are the common denominators among teenagers throughout the country that are not using drugs and alcohol. And they thought, well, maybe it's, you know, economics, maybe it's wealth, maybe it's the areas of the country that they live, maybe it's the numbers of hours they're watching television, maybe it's how many hours they're in outside school activities like sports, you know, keeping your kids busy. You know, we hear that mantra a lot. You got to keep them busy, keep them off drugs. All those things, you know, maybe how many hours they're watching television or in media, you know, they've updated it based on this social media, the addiction now of social media among our kids, which makes family mealtime even more important. And family mealtime was not even on their radar. They were not even, that wasn't even a thought, you know, that that could be one of the common denominators. Guess what the number one common denominator among the teenagers, the majority of the teenagers that were not using drugs and alcohol? Family mealtime. Family mealtime, not even on CASA's radar, weren't even looking for that. They were shocked and surprised to learn that family mealtime was the number one common denominator among teens that were not using drugs and alcohol. And then many of you may remember back in the 90s, Kathy Lee Curtis or Jamie Lee Curtis did this big thing on Nickelodeon that was all about bringing back family mealtime. And that campaign, that national campaign, was based on CASA's research showing the benefits to children of family mealtime, just one of them, for not using drugs and alcohol. Now, it didn't mean 100% of the teens that had family mealtime were not using drugs and alcohol. That's not possible. But the majority were not. And again, ladies, you know why? You know the power of family mealtime? It's because of the connection. It's because of kids from a very young age, the age of your children, having uninterrupted time and attention, connecting with their moms and dads on a regular basis around the family dinner table. That's the power. And the reason family mealtime works is because we have to eat. We have to eat. It forces you. You can be intentional about making it happen, but you got to eat. And if you gather them around the family dinner table, and it's not about the food, you can. There's a million websites out there with cooking recipes with 5 ingredients or less. You know, I'm all about making it simple. So it's not about the food; it's about the conversation, and it's not about the the cooking, but the conversation and the fellowship around the family dinner table. There are a million more that I could give you, but the list goes on and on. One thing that was very interesting in their research that they found, conversely, the less well-adjusted teens who were rarely having family dinners were more likely to be involved in drugs, be depressed, exhibit difficulty getting along with others, and have trouble in school. That one was done by Stanford University. Again, it's listed on the CASA website. So there are, this is number 2, and we're not even at the top 10, and I only have time to give you the top 5. So it's amazing the benefits to children of family mealtime. Okay, number 3, or rather, yeah, hang on one second. Number 3 is better, the third greatest research benefit of family mealtime and benefits to your kids is better adjustment, fewer behavioral problems, and reduced risk of depression and suicide. Better adjustment, fewer behavioral problems, and reduced risk of depression and suicide. And this really, moms, bodes true today in this hyper insane social media day and age. Because research shows that 60% of our teenagers ages 13 to 16 feel lonely and depressed at some point in the past week, according to research. 60%. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember when I was in junior high and I felt a little, you know, maybe out of place now and then, but I don't remember feeling lonely and depressed every week, and the majority of my friends, 60%, that is a huge number. And I attribute the majority of that to social media, to the fact that our kids are so stuck on their phones and addicted to their phones, because research, medical research shows now that their brains are getting so wired that they can't even track eye contact, which is one of the reasons I don't have PowerPoint, by the way. I don't do this on PowerPoint because I want you to get used to the beauty of eye contact and not the media thing. But that our kids are so incapable of carrying on a normal conversation with an adult, with another friend, because it's all about, they go to events and it's all about taking pictures and Snapchatting it instead of actually being in the moment. And of course our kids are going to feel lonely when they see their other friends, you know, because everything we post on Facebook, Snapchat, you know, Instagram is all our best. You know, we don't post things when we're sitting around in our pajamas, you know, eating Cheetos on the couch. You know, we're all about, you know, looking our best and doing the funnest things. And, you know, that's what we look like. So your kids who haven't formed, their brains are still forming, they're developing, you know, of course they're going to be depressed. Of course they're going to think their lives are lacking. You know, I'm an adult and I look at some of my friends' posts on Facebook and I feel bad for myself too, you know, and I'm 55. So, you know, what are our kids going to be thinking when they're 12 and 8 and 16, and they see all their friends doing all these fun, wonderful things? All the more reason why family mealtime is so critically and vitally important and so beneficial for your kids. Your family is going to be like salmon swimming upstream in a crazy, breakneck, harried, stressful culture, right? Do it differently, because clearly the culture in America is not raising children well, would you say? So let's do it differently, moms. Let's do it the family mealtime way. Less stress and actually better for your kids. It's awesome. This is why you have to go home and explain this to your husband, you know. You know how to talk to him and, hey, honey, you know, and whatever you need to do to get to that place where, you know, you can easily influence him, you know, sort of like whatever you got to do, ladies, take this sheet and bring it with you and talk to him, you know, get him on board, whatever you have to do. So I highly recommend it. Okay, one other thing about the busy schedule. You know, we all have those busy schedules. And I know some of you have to leave because you have, like, there's something going on with the preschool, right? Okay, we'll try to speed this up. How am I doing on time? Good? Yay, okay. If you need to, go do the thing at the preschool, the Thanksgiving, which is awesome, and then come back up here, and I'll have the food for talk, or if you have any questions, you can come ask me. But one of the things about our busy schedules you know, we all, like, it's like a mantra, right? Everyone asks us, oh, how are you doing? Oh, busy, busy. Oh, I'm so busy, right? Don't you hear that from me? I say it, you know, I don't as much anymore, but because I try to, you know, slow it down and, you know, take what I know I can do and do well. And, you know, God opens doors and closes doors for ministries and work opportunities. But, you know, I really try to balance that. And even tried when my kids were your kids' age. But, you know, we think that keeping our kids busy and in activities, well, we already know research bears out that that doesn't matter because kids that are in sports are taking drugs just as much as kids that aren't. And sometimes I think the football players and the water polo players and the track guys and whatever are sometimes the ones that are the partiers, you know, and are doing more drugs than some of the other ones, you know. I think research would bear that out as well. But we get in this mindset that one way to keep our kids off drugs and alcohol, or one way to keep them happy and, you know, busy and whatever, is to keep them involved in 20 different activities, right? Well, my recommendation is that, again, that we know now that busy is not the key to raising healthy, well-adjusted kids, because research just bears that out, that just running kids at the age of 2, 4, 6, 16 from pillar to post is not the answer to raising healthy, well-adjusted kids. So again, I would highly recommend you as moms, and go home and take this to your husbands, that you really rethink and say no, not to all, but say no to some of these good activities that you would like to get little Joey involved in, and say yes to family mealtime. And one of the best things you can say to your husband, because I think sometimes dads, you know, drive this, you know, idea that they're going to raise the next Tiger Woods or something, you know, I'm going to have the next big golfer on the PGA, or, you know, the next big, you know, football player, or whatever sport. I think the one thing is, and shout out if you think you know, but what is the percentage of high school seniors that get NCAA scholarships to college? What is the percentage? What would you guess? Just shout it out. 1%. You guys are not only the best cooks, but you guys are like really smart too. So clearly that's awesome. Usually I get 5, 10, you know, most people think 8 maybe. It's actually less than 1% of all high school seniors that get NCAA athletic scholarships. And that's guys and girls, less than 1%. So tell your husband, let's just ratchet this thing down a bit. Let's really be able to do family mealtime. Doesn't have to be every night. It can be a little bit later. It can be a little bit earlier. But let's really try to do this family mealtime thing 4 or more times a week for 30 minutes or more for 18 years. Because it truly is that powerful. Okay, so moving on to number 4, top research reason. Benefit to children of family mealtime. Yeah, we'll take questions at the end. Is that okay? So write it down. Okay, good. The decrease chance of your kids, if they're having family mealtime, with obesity and weight problems. Obesity and weight problems among our young people is rampant. It is epidemic. It has never been like this. And I understand. Part of it is moms nationwide, because I've spoken to moms all over the country, and moms nationwide, until they hear my talk and change their family around, which they all do because it's so powerful, is they say that, you know, hey, I'm driving through, I'm getting fast food, we're on our way to soccer, we're on our way to art class, we're on our way to this, that, and the other. You know, and this is the, you know, one or two nights a week or afternoons or whatever, this is what we're doing. We're driving through the fast food. Well, nutritionists nationwide all say and all agree that when you eat at home, you eat a healthier diet. You eat healthier foods. You eat less trans fats. You eat more. The portions are smaller. How many of you, and I never can remember the name, how many of you, when you go out to restaurants, of course, most restaurants, the portions are like 10 times the size of what you would normally eat at home, right? And my mom, here's a great tip. My mom always said, why pay for it twice? Because you're going to pay for it to buy the food, then you're going to pay for it here. Isn't that a great? I know. She's genius, you know, loved it. But so we never had to like clear your plate, and there's starving kids in China because there aren't any more. They're somewhere, but they're not in China, and my food left on my plate is not going to help them. So just an idea. But the amount of food, like how many of you have been to Claim Jumper? Jumper, what is that the name of it? Okay, does anyone own Claim Jumper that's in here? I don't want to insult anyone. This might be your restaurant. So, okay. All right. Good. And if you own a restaurant, that's okay. That's okay too. But, you know, it's just like a trough. It's a trough of food, and the whole family could just push up to one big, and they even serve it on like a wooden thing with a big plate underneath, you know, with that big, it's like that, right? And it has a wooden, almost like a trough-esque looking platter, you know? And like, your whole family could just push up to the one plate and eat it. But that's what it is when you go out to fast food, when you go to some of these restaurants. My husband and I share, you know, that's a great way to do it. But, you know, when we eat out or we eat on the run or we're eating fast food, we don't always make, and there's nothing wrong with that now and then, clearly. That's great. You know, I do it. We all do it. But it's not good for any of us on a regular basis. All of you have seen Super Size Me, right? It's just so disgusting. I can't even, you know, the guy eats McDonald's for 30 days and, you know, he goes to his doctor and, you know, and then 30 days later, he's already got hypertension and his doctor puts him on all this medicine because he's gained all this weight. All he ate was McDonald's for 30 days. No one owns a franchise here, do they? Okay, good, good, good. Great audience. I love you guys. So just good to know. And one of the things, Harvard study, I have a million research studies that I could quote. Children who ate family dinners most days consumed more fruits, vegetables, less fried foods, less saturated fats, trans fats, less soda, substantially higher intakes of dietary fiber, calcium, iron, folate, vitamins B6, B12, C, E, and all the others. The list goes on and on. So you get it, though. When you eat at home, you generally tend to eat a healthier diet. One of the things that I love, there's a nutritionist out there. She's a child nutrition expert, Ellen Satter. She wrote that she often gets resistance when she presses for family meals. People tell her that they just don't have enough time to shop and cook. And she responds to that by saying, quote, "Eating well is one of life's important issues and lessons, and parents need to be willing to devote time and energy to it." Isn't that wonderful? Because we don't put that on the list. And that's a wonderful thing. It's another wonderful, easy, stress-free benefit of having family dinners, saying no to a few of these good things over here in order to make room for family mealtime in your life. Okay, guys, number five. Fifth greatest reason, there's actually 10 research reasons, but I can only give you five, is stronger families. The National Education Network focus groups, participants said that they believe that the primary benefit to eating together was strengthening the family by providing opportunities for communication and building relationships. And I just got to share with you one example of this. I'm not a big Oprah fan. I'm probably the only one out here. Do even you kids know who Oprah is? You're so young and fresh and just right out of the womb there. You're so cute. But anyway, do you know who Oprah is? Yeah, great. Okay, well, for years she had a show that was on TV, and I think she's still got a magazine out there. Maybe that's how you know her. But anyway, she did a show years ago, and she did the 30-day challenge, and she took five families, none of them, all age kids, all different ages, and she. Did the challenge, the family mealtime challenge for 30 days. And she had them all five families did family mealtime, and none of them wanted to. They were all like, oh, you know, how did this happen to me? You know, none of the kids wanted to do it. They were all resistant. And she took these five families and she had a film crew follow them, and they did this diary of, you know, and they took, you know, pictures of, you know, their family and the first night of trying to do family mealtime and, you know, the plates crashing on the floor in the kitchen and nobody knew how to set the table and who's going to cook. Well, I'm not cooking and, you know, the fighting and, you know, whatever. And then she went through this journal with the family for 30 days. And then she had them all on the show for the, you know, the big panel, 30 days. Most of you don't know what that looked like, but she had a show and it had a set. And there were kids sitting out there. So the whole families, all the families came out on the show. I'm just joking, but kind of true. But anyway, so they come out on the show, and they all were like, in the beginning, they showed the first night of family mealtime. And the table, they're all sitting around the table. They've all got some semblance of what may or may not be food. Nobody really knew how to put that together. And you could literally hear crickets. Like, they were looking at each other like, who are you? And why don't we go around the table and say our names, because we didn't know who our family was, you know, and tell each other a little bit about each other. And by the end of the 30 days, they were laughing, sharing, talking. Even the little babies were in the high chair banging, throwing food. It's so wonderful. You guys just lean into the throwing of the food and the banging. It's so wonderful because my youngest is 22 and there's no banging and throwing food, you know. Although, you know, anyway, he misbehaves sometimes, but not that bad. Anyway, so enjoy the banging and the throwing of the food, because it really is. You'll miss it when it's gone. But they loved it. They loved the family mealtime. They loved the time together. And every single one of the kids was saying, we want to continue doing that. And the crowd went wild. And then she gave everyone a car. And it was awesome, you know. It was just so great. And it was really an exciting time. But that was it just goes to show you that your families are going to start out with family mealtime if they're not doing it or if they're not doing it regularly. And they're not going to like it. It's going to be new. It's going to be kind of stressful a little bit in the beginning. And then they're going to love it. They're going to invite their friends. They're going to want their friends to come over, and they're all going to just really dive into it. And a lot of people have asked me, like, well, how did you get started with this business? Because I've been doing this now for close to 15 years, 10, 15 years. And Food for Talk is conversation starters for family mealtime. They're on your table. I highly recommend you take them home. Your leaders are going to talk about family mealtime. Are you doing it? Are you not? But take those cards home. Use them at your family table. And I started it because I'm a journalist, and when my kids were literally like 5, 3, and 1, I could not strike up a conversation. And I can strike up a conversation with a houseplant. I am not kidding. I mean, they'll talk back and, you know, tell me how much water and fertilizer they need. Everybody talks to me, you know. It's just I'm a conversationalist. And I could not get my kids to talk, you know, and as they got older, it kind of got worse. And I thought, well, this is crazy. So I started writing down quotes and things that I read, billboard slogans, ripped out articles out of the newspaper and magazines back in the day when there was paper. And I actually would start writing them on little cards and putting them on the dinner table. So that way, when we sat down, we would actually be talking about things that would spark and springboard onto other conversation, because that's the power. It's not how great of a cook you are or a chef or whatever, or how good the meal is. It's the conversation. And I'm going to talk about that briefly, the top five how-tos next. But So, and my kids would literally, they loved it. It was like mom wasn't and dad weren't prying into their lives. It was this kind of game. It was this fun card. We used to do, you know, whoever had the best table manners, whoever has the napkin in their lap gets to pick the card that night. And then that card would just spring off into other conversations. Let me give you an example. They're designed for ages, I'd say, starting at 3, but you need to start family mealtime. We would pull the high chair up, but the cards are designed for like 3, and you can sort of pare them down all the way up through 103. Here's an example. Quote, a lot of them have quotes on them. Quote, divine service done here 3 times a day. That is a sign hanging over the sink of Ruth Graham, wife of evangelist Billy Graham. The question, express thanks to your mother for one specific divine service she did for you today. And can you imagine your husband telling you that? You know, okay, honey, let's start with you. I love it. Another quote, life is either a daring adventure or nothing. Helen Keller, 1880 to 1968. She was an inspirational deaf and blind author and speaker. The question is, would you describe your life as a daring adventure? Why or why not? And what could you change or add to your life to make it a daring adventure? And believe it or not, your 2-year-old boy will answer this question. He gets a daring adventure. And the answer he gives at 2 will, of course, be different from the answer he gives at 8 and 16 and 25. We still use these at our dinner table, and they're super fun. And when we're sitting around the table and they answer, they pick one of them and they read the card, and I go, wow, that's a great question. And they go, Mom, you wrote that. And I go, I know, but it's still a great question, you know. And they're like, oh, you. Okay, here's another one. Describe your day with a color and explain why you picked it. Love that. Here's one. Quote, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Proverbs 28:13. And this is where you look across the table at your husband and you go, explain why you think it's important to admit our mistakes instead of trying to ignore them. Honey, would you like to start with that one? Love that. My husband likes to answer that. Here's another one. When people get hungry or frustrated, there is a question they can ask themselves to find out why they really feel that way. Halt. Am I hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? The last time you were angry, which one applied to you? And your 5-year-old daughter will immediately jump in and answer that. I promise. It sparks lots of conversation. Quote, associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation, for it is better to be alone than in bad company. George Washington, 1732 to 1799, first U.S. president, and gives the dates. Question, do you agree with this statement? And have you ever been in bad company? And if so, what happened? Great question. Imagine your son or daughter getting this question and talking about it around the family dinner table when they're 8. And then they get into junior high when they're 11 or 12. And they remember that conversation way back when they were 8. And when driving them to soccer, would you ever have the opportunity driving? The TV is usually on now in your vans. I see them with lights and phones and social media. When would you ever give your children your undivided attention with no phones, no ringing, no TV, no sports, no sitting on the sidelines? When would you ever have that opportunity to be intentional, to have that talk with dad and mom? And by the way, all the research works, even if only one parent is at the dinner table. Didn't matter, which is good to know in case you ever have to do dinner on your own or you're a single parent. That's awesome. Last one. A blessing can be described as something that brings happiness into your life. Share at least 5 of your blessings. Awesome. Gives you just a sample, and take the cards home with you. Okay, lastly, and I literally have 1 minute, so we're going to have to write fast, okay? So the last five how-tos, and you would think to yourself, how to do family mealtime? How to? I don't want to do family mealtime. Well, a lot of people don't, believe it or not. We literally are, like I said, salmon swimming upstream because a lot of people don't know how. So number one, how to have family mealtime, be intentional. And that means, Mom, you have this wonderful, wonderful blessing of being the heart of your home. And this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing and responsibility is yours. You get to be the one to bring family mealtime into your home and to get your husband in, the father, in on the whole thing. And again, like I said, if you're a single mom, this works just as well. If you're doing family mealtime with just you, or if dad's the only one there, that's great too. As long as one parent is there, the research benefits apply. So I used to say when I started out doing these talks that if your family is too busy for family mealtime, maybe your family is too busy. Now I say, because especially with the advent of social media and the dangers of that for our kids, in addition to all the others, I say, honestly, that if your family is too busy for family mealtime, your family is just too busy. And you got to figure out a way to say no to a few or some of these good things in order to do what you now know is the best thing for your family. And I highly recommend you start with one night a week, and then blossom into 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 nights a week if you can. That would be great. I think dinner is the best time to do it because breakfast is too hurried often, and not with work and family. A lot of people aren't around for lunch. So dinner is often the best one to try to get everyone gathered around the table because the goal is that you're going to be a big, happy Italian family. You're all going to be sitting around for an hour when your kids are in high school, right? Because you started now for 30 minutes, and you're going to get them to blossom in and have their friends, and it's going to be a joyous time. The other thing about being intentional is, would everybody do this with me? Take your right hand, your right arm, and hold it out. Hold out your right arm. Great. You guys are you're the best crowd ever. Okay. Reach around to the middle of your back. What do you feel? A backbone. Now use it. All right? You ladies are going to have to get home. You moms are going to have to get home. And your kids, like mine and every other kid, is going to look at you like, oh, Mom, you know, how did I get in this family? You know, they're all going to be like, no, we don't want to do it. And, you know, we make them take their vitamins. We make them take a bath and shower. We make them eat their leafy greens. And this is going to be one more thing, but I promise you, at the end of 30 days, maybe sooner, maybe after the end of 3 family dinners, they are going to be having so much fun talking and sharing and laughing and conversing that they are going to be begging you, can we sit down and do family mealtime? My kids' friends would say, can we do that game? They call it a game. Can we do that food for talk game? And even if you don't do food for talk, make up your own, you know, stick your own 3x5 cards on there. These are just options to make it easier for you. One less thing you got to do, but make it fun, okay? And they're going to be begging you to do it. So number one is be intentional, and you're the one that's going to have to bring that about. Number two, no electronics. No electronics. That means turn the TV off, turn the music off, put the cell phones away. I know that's going to be really hard, especially for some of your husbands, but this is the best thing for you. Okay, raise your hand if any of you in the room are brain surgeons. Please raise your hand. Anybody a brain surgeon in here? All right. Are any of you married to a brain surgeon? Please raise your hand. Okay. None of you are that important then. None of you are life and death that you cannot give up your cell phone now for 30 minutes. All right? Your husband is not that important. Tell him to get over himself. All of his friends and all of his work people and all of his, oh, they're paging me now, they can all wait 30 minutes because they're not that important. the live human beings and your children are more important than this, that, and the other, because they're not brain surgeons. Now, if they were brain surgeons and somebody's really needed to get in for surgery, I would say, you know, keep it under the table maybe, but they're not. So you have your husbands and you have no excuse. Get rid of the cell phones for 30 minutes, right? Can I hear an amen? Amen. Great. All right. Good. No interruptions. Number three is no interruptions and no arguing. And this is the best part, because we want this to be an argument-free zone. And that means, well, that's one of the big things you're going to have to get dad on board with, because we don't want dad bringing up the how'd you do on that, you know, bad grade and what happened with that test. And, you know, we want to talk about those things later, but we don't want to talk about it around the family dinner table. We don't want everyone coming there getting indigestion. We want them enjoying the conversation and the fellowship, right? So talk to hubby and say, you know what, we really don't want to be, you know, talking to little Timmy about that, you know what that is, whatever that problem is, you know, that you can really tie him up in knots. So you want to keep it fun. Another reason to do something like this, which really, when my kids would start getting in that angry, you know, they'd start bickering mode, I'd be like, all right, let's pick a card. And I would start reading it, or I would have one of my other kids reading a card, and it would just divert. You know, when your kids are two, they teach you divert. Okay, when they're 12, same thing. Divert. And you're going to have to do it at the family dinner table once a month, you know, so just get used to it. And it really starts, and it just allows them to start diverting from those negative conversations onto something that's more pleasant and no arguments, right? Okay, number four, keep it simple and get everyone involved. Keep it simple and get everyone involved. Moms, you're going to love this. Get your kids age appropriate to start cooking, stirring, shopping at the grocery store with you, helping you with your list, helping you set the table, helping you clear the table, helping you put the dishes in the dishwasher, because you will be the only parents on the planet without raising an entitled kid. Right? Yeah. Isn't that great? I know. Woo! Look at these. These men are moms. Know what I'm talking about. The entitled kid that's like, oh, you know, do this for me, do that for me. Isn't everyone going to do things for me? And especially if you have boys, because they're going to grow up and get married, and their wives are going to be, they're going to be able to have the best wives, and you're going to have the best daughter-in-laws if you have taught them this at a very young age. So getting a good daughter-in-law is all about doing family mealtime and getting your kids involved in the process, especially your boys. It's another added benefit, number six, on the research shows. Yeah, it really is. So get them involved, get your girls, get your boys, get them involved in helping the cooking. And you never know, you might have the next, you know, Bobby Flay or, you know, whatever those chef guys are, you know, or girls. You never know. That's awesome. So get them involved and help everybody, get everybody helping out in the work. All right. Last one is 30 minutes plus around the family dinner table. Now, I realize some of you have infants. You're saying, how is that possible? I've got a two-year-old. He won't sit in his chair. Eventually, he will. Eventually, she will. One of the things I highly recommend is take them outside. When dad gets home, have them go outside in the back and run their little willies out, and then they're ready to come back in and sit down, you know. Work it out in your family however best you can. But I promise you that if you are laughing, talking, sharing, conversing, and the family dinner table to even your six-month-old in the high chair appears to be a warm, nurturing environment, your one-year-old, your two-year-old, your three-year-old, your four-year-old will run to the table eventually. But trust me, you know, it's going to take time. It's going to take some perseverance. You need to be intentional. It doesn't happen overnight. And I challenge you to 30 days. 30 days of family mealtime, and I promise you they'll do that. Okay, one at the top of your sheet, you'll see there is a quote up there, and it says 28 hours. Do you see that at the top? Okay, this is where your husband's going to say, well, we don't have time, we're too busy, blah, blah, blah. Okay, the Nielsen ratings, they are the best. Billions of dollars in advertising are based on Nielsen ratings. And they know basically what everybody in America is doing because billions with a B relies on the fact that they know what they're doing. And they have tracked the number of television hours, and this isn't even social media, this is just TV. 28 hours, you want to know what that is? It's the number of hours the average American watches television per week. 28 hours. You want to know what 3.5 minutes is? You are geniuses. The number of minutes per week on average that the American parent spends in meaningful conversation with their child. 3.5 minutes. So literally, when your husband says, or you think, we don't have time, we don't have time, we don't have time, you have the time. If you take out 30 minutes of TV, 30 minutes of social media, one activity out of the five that your kids are already signed up for, you will have time for family mealtime. I recommend you take out three of the five, but, you know, no one listens to me, even my own kids. So, but I always say, you don't listen to me to your own detriment, you know, but that's okay. And they all know now, mom's always right. Why don't we listen to her, you know? You're always right. Trust me. Your kids won't figure that out, though, till they're 22. But you really are always right. Okay, so lastly, I have a very short video. It's actually a minute 30 seconds. This is the only media that I play in this. And we're going to go ahead and start this thing. Can they see me if I stand here? Okay. I have played this video. I have played this video. I know. I should have warned you. I have played this 100 times, and it just gets me every time. Ladies, God has blessed you for a very short season. And I'm sharing that from the other side. It is a very, very short season. You get 18 years, if you're lucky, to parent your children. And family mealtime may not have even been on your radar before this morning. But I want you to leave here today knowing that four more times a week for 30 minutes a day for 18 years is the most powerful thing you can do to connect your family. And I just want to end with how I started. You know, God created us. We are relational beings. We are called and blessed to have a relationship with God, the creator of the universe. And after that relationship with Jesus Christ, we have this beautiful opportunity to have a relationship first and foremost with our family, with our husbands, with our children, with each other. And the best way to do that is to spend that uninterrupted conversation, connecting and sharing. Because when your kids are getting that from you at 8, 12, and 14, when the real tough times hit, they're not going to be going outside the family. They're not going to be going to their stupid friends at 16 and 17 who don't know anything, big blobs. They're going to come to you. Yeah, they're going to be coming to you because you laid that foundation with that connection, with that conversation, with training them up in the way they should go, with that character, with that bonding, because time is the greatest gift that you can give to your children. Your time is the greatest thing that you can do, and the best way to do that is to be intentional and do it around the family dinner table. Thank you so much for having me here. I'll be over there. They make great Christmas gifts. They last beyond the hardened fruitcake. Thank you so much for inviting me.